दीदी तुम भी गाओ।
चल तू शुरू कर, हाँ। मैं भूल गई।
राजू गांधी ओ पूरा कर दो सबके मन के बात, राजू गांधी हो पूरा कर दो सबके मन के बात। मुलुक से आए भूखे प्यासे बंबई।
I've always liked Sagira. I'm not sure why, and I suspect she's a much more complex personality than I imagine. But she has something, some special oomph, or as the French would say, la de la gueule. This is a song she wrote many years ago. It's the Pavement Dwellers version of the blues. Why he or she has to leave their village. How they land up living in huts that are demolished every other day or every other week. And how, despite everything, they still have this hope that someone, somewhere in power, will do something, anything, to help them get a pucker home of their own. I also like Sagira because she's a link to a little bit of my own past. A few years ago, I spent some time in a little village called Jitvatpur, outside the market town of Madhubani in northern Bihar. And I made a series of radio programs about life in the village. So my ears pricked up the first time Sagira told me she came originally from a village near Madhubani.
Which is your village near Madhubani?
Mera gaon ka naam. Mera sasural hai. Mera gaon ka naam Bilahi.
My father-in-law is in Bilahi and my mother is in Raika.
Is this very near Madhubani town?
Haan, nazdeek hai. 5 kilometer hai.
5 kilometers from.
Okay. Do you remember a village called Jitvapur?
Haan. Haan, yes. Haan, hamare gaon se thoda hatke hai.
Little far from
Madhubani hai, hamare gaon hai wo beech mein.
It's in between Madhubani and my village.
बोल रहे ना जितपापुर, एक तरफ मुस्लिम है साझा चलाने वाला और एक तरफ हिंदू है।
One side there are Muslims who are the weavers and the other side are the Hindus.
वहाँ तक के पहुँच गया, थोड़ा आगे जाते तो हमारे गांव में चले जाते।
If you had just gone a little further, you'd have reached my village.
चलो, हमारे साथ में चलो।
Come on, go with her.
जाओगे? जाएगा?
Today or tomorrow?
पूरा बिहार घुमा कर।
If you come with me to the village, I'll take you everywhere. I'll show you where they're making the clothes, where they're running the power looms. I'll take you around everywhere.
And one day she will. But for now, back to the past. Sagira left her village and came here, like hundreds of thousands of the poor and landless from rural Bihar.
I'm from Madhubani, Bihar. I came here to Bombay because I had a lot of trouble in the village. Trouble, suffering, hardship, nothing to eat. That's what it was. First my husband came and then I followed him.
She started the journey with the clothes on her back and half a kilo of atta, or flour. The bush telegraph brought her here to Baikala, to a handful of people from her village living on a street near here. Her husband fell ill with jaundice for the best part of 15 years. He would be more or less sick. So earnings were irregular, but the costs just went on increasing. At the time of his death in the mid-80s, Sagira was spending 25 rupees a day on a private doctor and medicines. So in addition to raising a family, Sagira had to earn the money to keep them all quite literally alive. Sagira therefore became a domestic servant, but quite by chance.
You see, I was coming back from the toilet and this one lady called me from the building opposite. She told me to come up. I got very worried. Go up? How do I go up?
मेरे को बहुत डर हो गए कि ये चाय क्यों पिला रहे, ऐसी मीठी मीठी माँ की जैसी बात कर रहे,
and into a whole new world of objects she'd never seen or imagined.
She told me to sit on the bed. I'd never seen a bed before. There were all sorts of things in her house. There was a bed, there was a chair, there was a TV. I'd never seen all this in my life.
The woman wanted her to do the dishes and wash the floor. Sagira hadn't the faintest idea what that meant, but she quickly learned. And she was soon earning 600 rupees a month, a far cry from those days not so long before in Bihar, but nothing like enough. There were her husband's medical bills and their hut on Dimdimka Road that was pulled down almost every week. Life was basically a nightmare. Her eldest son, Akhtar, could never go to school. He had to start working at the age of 9 in a power loom. And then her husband finally died. Whether from jaundice or something else, I don't know.
I thought to myself, now I must do something about getting my house. I have no husband. I have got 4 children. It was now 1987. He was working in the power loom over there, so for a while we lived on that. And then I got a handcart for 500 rupees, and I started my own business of selling seasonal fruit. So if there were berries, then berries. If there were corn, then corn. Whatever was in the season, we would sell.
Akhtar's now running the handcart business. Sagar has moved on to what she calls collecting paper. But what paper and where? In the streets or from offices? Sagar says she'll show me. And a few weeks later, she tells me to meet her at 8 in the morning at Crawford Market. Then you'll understand. Crawford Market's the last of a dying breed. A wholesale fruit and vegetable market that feeds a great city. Covent Garden in London, Les Halles in Paris, they've both been gutted and transferred to anonymous industrial estates in their respective suburbs. Crawford Market, thank God, survives. For how much longer, I really don't want to know. Wholesale merchants sit on old wooden platforms, 6 feet above the floor, surrounded by wooden crates of fruit and vegetables. In the aisle in front of me, Suresh packs vegetables into a huge jute sack. The stuff's been trucked in here while we sleep from places like Nasik, hundreds of miles into the interior, and in noisy, belching trucks.
Coming to Nasik.
Yeah, they're coming from Nasik. Yeah. And where are they going to now?
Go to China Garden restaurant, Kim's Corner.
Yeah, I've eaten there. The place is full till 2 or 3 in the morning. You need connections just to get a table.
That's ginger.
Ginger, yes.
What is that?
This one, celery.
Celery. So they buy this quantity every day. The restaurant buys this every day.
And Suresh somehow finds space for the ginger root and the celery, then closes the top of the sack with a drawstring, ready to be loaded into a taxi and whisked a few miles up the road. But where has Sagira got to? Sagira's next door, ankle-deep in straw and packing paper and surrounded by shallow wicker baskets containing the season's first mangoes. Each mango is individually wrapped in white paper. That's a lot of waste paper and Sagira's current source of income. It doesn't take long to fill Sagira's sack. Her partner Noor Jahan's busy collecting cardboard fruit boxes to flatten, recycle, and resell. For both women, it's now time to go and unload at their office. Their office is a piece of canvas fastened against the perimeter wall of the market. Inside, stacked high, are neat piles of flattened cardboard and packing paper.
How much do you get for the paper that you pick up here?
वो तो किलो के ऊपर है ना जितना मैं जास्ती चुनेंगे उतना ही जास्ती होएगा जितना किलो वजन आएगा उतना पैसा मिलेगा
It depends on how much I collect every day. If I collect 30 kilos, then I get 60 rupees per day at the rate of 2 rupees a kilo only during the season. And the season starts from February and it lasts till June.
What about?
If I collect 50 kilos of paper, then I get 100 rupees. It depends on how much I work.
Ghanta.
Ghanta bole to?
Ghanta.
Sagira starts at 5 in the morning and often finishes well after midnight. Days like that, she figures she's earned a rest.
Do
you get more for these cardboard boxes?
Yeah, you certainly get more money for the cardboard boxes. You get 2 rupees 50 paise or 3 rupees per kilo.
And why only 3 months a year do you work?
3 mahina hum isliye ki 3 mahina zyada maal zyada aati hai.
Aap us aata na, aap uske sath
kaam ka season mein aata.
Noor Jahan says the answer's obvious, isn't it? Not to me it isn't. My pennies take more time to drop.
I work only for 3 months because that's the season where it's a mango season. And with mango season, lots of paper comes with the mango.
So the rest of the year you don't work, you live off that money?
I survive on what I earn in these 3 months and my son is also working. So rest of the months I survive on whatever he earns.
A few days later, I meet up with Sagira back in Baikala. She's got the usual money problems, expenses that never seem to slow down.
I have 2 kids in school, one in the 6th, one in the 4th. Where am I going to get those expenses? Now they don't have a school bag. Just to get one school bag costs 70 rupees.
Uniforms, books, paper, pencils, it all mounts up. Raymat told me it costs several hundred rupees a month just to keep her 2 kids in school. Now, 10 years ago, maybe Sagira would have just thrown in the towel over a little thing like the school bag. But 10 years ago, Sagira met Sheila Patel and Selinda Cruz at Nagpara neighborhood house. And when Sheila and Selina and the others left to try and help the pavement dwellers, Sagira chucked in her job as a domestic servant.
And then you come here in the afternoon whenever you get time. But I was dying to come over here.
At last, she had a mission in life.
I was going to the market, so I had 15-20 kilos of paper.
Sagira now collects savings from the other members of Maila Milan on nearby Dindimka Road, where she's lived for many years now. She doesn't get paid for this, but that's not really very important.
I'm not coming over here because I'm getting anything from here. I'm coming over here because I want to come over here and I want to find out about my house.
Today, Sagira makes her late husband out to be an extremely tolerant man. But in fact, he was never too keen on Sagira's work with the other pavement dwellers.
You know my husband, how he used to fight with me, how he used to beat me. And he would keep telling me, you're going over there, nothing will happen. Till I die, you won't get a house. And really, he died and I still haven't got a house. I still keep coming over here.
Sagira ferrets round in her cloth bag, pulls out a piece of paper from a school exercise book. On it are written the words to a song that dates back to the bad old days, when their huts were destroyed every week, sometimes every other day.
I sat with Usman Tata and I said, now for 2 days we just sat, so I have to write this song. So I would say it and he would write it. I can read, but I don't know how to write.
Sagira composes herself.
Jhopra maine banaya phute par
le gaya. Singing this song again is painful, very painful. Half her life flashes before her eyes. Oh, there were good times, but so much of it was bad. the days before the women began their long climb out of the blackness of despair. She folds the paper, slips it into her bag, and turns away, so I won't see her tears. I'm Julian Crandall-Hollick, in Bombay.